Hey now, welcome back, welcome in. Thanks for joining us one more time. I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with me, Randall the Armor Bearer. How do we do this? What was I saying? What's my line?
We are. They that believe.
Oh, we're just tripping all over. I forgot how to do this. We've been away for a long time. Did you count the weeks?
I did not. It's been a little bit, though.
I thought about it today. I was going to count. Has it been a month?
I think it's almost been two, because the Facebook update said that we hadn't posted in like 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
It hadn't been that long. It would have been mid-May. Well, this is about mid-July, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Almost. So it's been 6-7 weeks maybe then. Well, anyway, let's go back to where we were when we left off, when we last left our heroes. I was regaled everybody with tales of my hernia and was going in, or was supposed to go in for surgery, like only a couple of days after that, right? Does that mm-hmm. sound right?
Yeah.
And so I was going to go, and then we'll see you here in a couple of weeks and I'll update and all that. Well, a lot of things happen in the meantime, and I don't want anybody to think I'm glossing over anything, but just for everybody else's benefit, I don't want to go into a lot of detail or go too far down talking about things that are kind of sad or tragic or anything. That's kind of not what we're here to do, but I don't want to give the wrong impression by sort of speeding through things or glossing over them, or let me not bury the lead as well. What happened in the course of the last few weeks is a series of unfortunate events, as they say, including the biggest one, which was my mother passed away, and very unexpected. And you know, she was not ill or anything at the time we recorded, and had no clue any of that was coming. So sort of to back up, I didn't want to tell a story about all these other things and then in the middle of it go, oh yeah, and then my mom died. Anyway, I wanted to kind of do that. That seemed a little weird. So I was supposed to go end of May or whenever that was for that hernia surgery. Well, insurance company stepped in, or rather didn't step in, as the case were. They were going to approve it and sign off on it. Well, the Friday before I was supposed to go have the surgery, which I think was on a Monday, they called from my surgeon's office and said, we're going to have to postpone. The insurance company hasn't approved it yet. They haven't signed off on it. And there was never any concern that they wouldn't. This was just a sort of a time thing, like we'll get to it when we get to it.
Right.
And then a little short with them on the phone and said, well, look, we got 16 days to make a decision. So, you know, in the meantime, I'm off work,
yeah.
Which is fine. I'm using sick time and had a little vacation time. But, you know, those things run out
right.
eventually, especially where I work. Unfortunately, we don't get a lot of we cannot accrue a lot of sick time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was conscious that I had plenty or had some, but I knew that it was not an infinite resource. So I'm like, what do you do? There's nothing you can do. You just got to sit and wait on these insurance people, you know. And I don't mean to insult anybody, because I know everyone out there loves dealing with the insurance companies and insurance people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we could do. We waited. Well, they eventually did give approval for it. It was June 2nd was when I actually had my hernia surgery, which went fine, went well. I'm otherwise recovered and back to work, so we can kind of put that over where it belongs. I'll stop talking about my hernia.
That is complete.
Yeah, as far as we know, knock on wood, praise the Lord and all that. So well, here's what happened on June 2nd. Now, at the same time, somehow or another, I know why it was. Gretchen's birthday is at the end of May. Well, she had family that wanted to come in and surprise her for her birthday, so I knew about it. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. She'll appreciate that. They come in from Ohio. Come on down and surprise her and all that. And then after a week or so of them telling me they're planning on doing this, somebody made the comment about, you know, oh, yeah, ha-ha, we'll just take over her house for a week. And I'm like, wait a minute.
They're staying here?
That's my house. Yeah, yeah, right, as well. You know, and I'm getting ready to have surgery and everything. So, but it, don't misunderstand. I mean, I like having them here. This is not one of those kind of things where I'm complaining about. But, you know, it was not the best time, but it was the best time for them. You understand what
yeah.
I'm saying. I would not have told them not to do it anyway.
Right.
So it's not a big deal. So they come in end of May. They're a few days before my surgery for Gretchen's birthday. Surprise her. And they're staying here at the house. Well, the kids, they got little kids, my niece and nephew, they don't really like the dogs. So we board the dogs, and it's easier, especially when you got a house full of people tripping over these little dogs getting under your feet, or if the kid's trying to eat a cookie and the dog wants the cookie and the kids don't know the dogs like we know them, they'll snap at them, or, you know, trying to get a cookie or scares them and that kind of thing. So it's just easier for us since we live.
Better for both sides. Better for the dogs that they have calm time, and better for the kids.
Maybe. I don't know how much they enjoy boarding at the clinic, but. Well, we'll say that, to soothe our own conscience, we'll say that they do. So we live, I mean, up the street is even, seems very liberal. We're within a stone's throw of, I can almost see the clinic from our house. So we board the dogs over there, and we've done that on several occasions, and very happy doing that, that we have a good animal clinic here. So we had the two little ones, and we took Leela up there, who's our diabetic, blind dog. Now, surely by this point, people have listened to us long enough have heard stories about Leela and her story. So June 2nd, Friday morning, I go in to go have my surgery in Jackson, Tennessee. As far as I know, everything went well. Here's the way I don't know when's the last time you had surgery or that required anesthesia. It's been a long time for me, probably 30 years. Yeah. But when I had it once before when I was a kid and I had surgery, I remember you see them do this thing where they have you count backwards from, you know, 100 to whatever. And they didn't even do that to me. They put this mask on me and I took like two puffs and I was gone. Uh-huh. And the next thing I know, it was like instantaneous, like out, up. And I woke up and it was over. Now, they did give me some stuff beforehand. What'd they call it? The I don't care drugs or something like that. They put something in my IV, like a death row inmate. You know, they give it to you in stages.
Well, I remember the last time I took it, they told me to count backwards from 100, and I think I made it to 97, and I was done. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, and this was the same experience as far as time goes. I mean, I was out very quickly. Yeah. I'd have been lucky to get to 97, but they didn't have me do any of that. They were just like, hey, how's it going? How you feeling? You know, like, okay, out.
Did you talk about anything crazy when you were coming around?
I don't think so.
No. I always hear the stories of people that, like, talk crazy stuff when they come back from anesthesia.
Yeah. To be honest, that was what I was worried about the most, was that part, because I remember from when I was a kid and having surgery before, that was the worst part for me when I was in, as they say, recovery, and was awake or conscious but couldn't wake up. So, you know what I mean? I was in that weird twilight phase, and for some reason it's terrifying to me. It's very scary, and I don't like that. Like, I can hear everybody kind of off in the distance, but I can't open my eyes and I can't reach. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, anyway, did that, went well, came home. Gretchen, this is all outpatient, so Gretchen brought me back home. You know, I crawl out of the car into bed, and here we go. I can lay here and recover and heal. Had not been home 2 hours, if that. They call from the clinic. Leela is having seizures. And basically, there's like, well, how is she? How's she doing? They were like, well, we'll put it this way. We don't want to euthanize her without you guys here. Now, this is not completely unexpected. I mean, at any moment, it's sort of a surprise. But she had not been well for a long time, as people will gather from listening to all our stories. She'd not enjoyed a very good quality of life, just basically laying around in the bed. So, you know, we knew that she probably did not have a lot of time anyway. And when my niece and nephew got here, the youngest, the little one, my nephew, kind of liked Leela. And he was okay with her and wanted to pet on her. And I actually told my sister-in-law, Ellie, who people would have heard here. She visited with us at Halloween. You know, I told her, I said, well, now's probably a pretty good time for him to pet and visit with her, because she probably won't be here when you guys come back. I actually said that. Little did I know. So we go up the street to the clinic again. That's just a few seconds. Now, keeping in mind, I just come out of surgery and I'm really sick from the anesthesia. It made me nauseous for like 2 or 3 days. I couldn't eat very well. So we go up there, and there's Leela, my best friend of 12 years, you know, my companion, as it were. As I said, people in the last 12 years when it, since I've had her, you know, people have come and gone out of my life, but Leela has been a constant. Mm-hmm. Even Gretchen, you know, now I certainly wouldn't trade Gretchen for Leela or anything like that, but Leela has been my constant. And you're getting to understand that now too, because now you've got a
I've got Pumpkin
round the clock companion, and mm-hmm. and you experience that thing. People come and go, good times, bad times, but yeah. you know, so it was tough. You know, some people get that. I have a lot of people that go, oh, I understand. Other people don't get it. They don't know what I know. You know, it's like losing a family member. You know, and other people feel a little differently. They're kind of like, oh, you know, it's a dog. And
You know, lots of people don't have inside dogs here. They have that outside dog that, you know, they don't really interact with all the time. Pumpkin comes up and he lays with me all the time, you know, if I'm laying on the couch.
Yeah, dogs that don't really live like family.
Yeah.
You know, we have dogs that sort of live like family. Mm-hmm. They eat with us and sleep with us and watch TV with us. And so we had to go up there and say goodbye to Leela. She was not going to recover at all. And now, what I did not know, at the same time all of this was happening, my mom had taken ill. And that Friday morning, she had either two strokes or a couple of rounds of one serious one. I don't know quite how you grade those things or whatever. But she got up. She had basically a stroke, fell down, and got bruised up really bad. By the time she went to the hospital, she looked like she'd been in a cage fight. So she knew she wasn't feeling well. She goes to lay down, get back up, whatever. Somewhere in the middle of all this, she has either another stroke or a second phase of this one or something mm-hmm. to that effect. Round two, basically.
Yeah.
Falls down again, gets real beat up and hurt again. So, again, by the time they take her to the hospital, she was looking really bad, really beat up. So she goes to the hospital. She's there. Now, I didn't find out about any of this until Sunday. And my family, to a fault, we have a problem with these kind of things. We don't communicate or tell each other things when we're, you know, we're worried. Like, they didn't know I had hernia surgery. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call my mom or told her anything. So Sunday morning, I find out all of this. Mom's in the hospital, and it got pretty tenuous, even on the front end. Also, Gretchen had gone at this point. No, she wasn't. She hadn't gone yet. But she was going back to Ohio. Like, her people were going to Ohio, and now she was going to go follow them, stay a week up there. So me, really not in a condition to do so, jumps in the truck and goes to Nashville and, you know, kills myself walking around this massive hospital, trying to find where I'm supposed to be in the parking garages and all that kind of nonsense. But what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, you're not going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew it. I was like, I should not be doing this, but you do what you got to do. Now, Mom made a sort of a recovery for a couple of days. She started to come around. She briefly had lost the use of like one of her arms, you know, and had some speech problems and things that you commonly associate with a stroke. And she started to come around a little bit. She was using the arm that had been incapacitated. They had gotten her up. She was starting to walk around. A little bit. They were walking around the hospital. She was gradually getting back some of her mental acuity. She was speaking okay by the time I saw her, even. She'd have a little problem searching for a word, like she knew what she wanted to say but couldn't find the word for it. And they found that she had, they found a whole bunch of things once they got under the hood. Really worrisome was mass on the lung, some kind of spongy growth on the heart. And there was the strokes. It seemed like there was something else I may be missing. Of course, the strokes presented first, and that's what put her in the hospital. And basically, she had stage 4 lung cancer and didn't know it. I know that sounds crazy, but she hadn't been to a doctor in 30-plus years. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of morals in here. If you take away anything from this story, you know, and I don't want to get too preachy, but go to the doctor. You know, even for checkups. And like my stepdad said, you know, under his insurance plan, she could go for annual free checkups and nothing. Mm-hmm. Just didn't want to do it. So, you know, go to your doctor and get checked up and don't smoke cigarettes. I mean, just very candidly. I mean, Mom had been off tobacco for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of her for that. But as you see in this case, it was too little too late, mm-hmm. you know. So, they had to do a biopsy. They found that the mass in the lung was in fact cancer, and they were we're able to draw a line from A to B to see that the tumor, the cancer in the lung, grew or spread is the word I'm looking for. It spread, and the growths on the heart were basically cancer. Mm-hmm. They're little spongy cancerous growths. It's a spread from the lung cancer. Those break off. They get in the blood. That's what caused the strokes, or from they cause clotting, which caused the strokes. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they even found that the cancer had spread too, like into the brain or farther, you mm-hmm. know. So had mom's stayed with us or recovered from the strokes and stuff, you know, you can kind of gather what the next year of her life would have been.
Right.
I mean, it was going to be chemo. And I was already kind of preparing for that. And what's interesting is during that week, that first part of that week that mom was in the hospital, as she started to kind of come out of the stroke, and I'm looking ahead toward the next few months of, okay, chemotherapy and all that kind of that routine. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, you always think there's more time. And I almost kind of in a tragic way laughed at myself later, because what I didn't know then was, you know, we were going to lose mom within a few days. And it was funny that I thought, even when I thought to myself, you always think there's going to be more time, I still had the thought that there was going to be more time.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of looked at, you know, it was a very introspective time, and I was like, I didn't even understand what that meant when I thought it initially. So mom had another stroke or series of strokes or whatever that she did not recover from, and that's pretty much it. Took her to there was a hospice center nearby where she lingered for a day or two and then was gone. So very unexpected, a lot of things all at once, mm-hmm. As you gather, really, on that day, although I didn't know about mom being ill that day, and I'm not trying to equate, you know, the loss of a pet with the loss of a parent. I hope that comes through. Surely,
yeah, surely.
You know. Yeah. Okay. I hope if you get it, I hope other people get it,
yeah,
too. They're like, he was upset because his dog died and his mom died. Like, you know, a little different. Well, you know, yeah, very different, but you know, don't do them on the same day, you know, mm-hmm. or at the same time. So that's where we've been. I've been in Nashville on and off quite a bit since, trying to take care of my grandmother, and with Gretchen, trying to take care of my grandmother. She's very fragile, and she's prone to strokes herself. So we're there kind of mostly to provide company for. See, my mom was her running buddy, mm-hmm. and they did everything together. They hung out together, whatever it is. So she's really is most directly affected mm-hmm. by this. My stepfather, you know, who's now alone, is most directly affected by this. And, you know, I would tell people who are very considerate and loving, and, you know, people are very generous to you in a time like this. And I would tell people, look, I'm really fortunate, and you don't need to feel bad for me. I'm sad mm-hmm. and will be for some time to come. It's unfortunate, and I don't want to be cavalier about it. But, you know, I have a home to go to, and I think hopefully if people that have stayed with us and kind of listened to our thing here gather, even in the middle of my, you know, my griping and complaining, which is always a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, I live a very blessed life. I think I do. You know, we have something very special here, and Gretchen and I have something very special. So, you know, none of that was taken from me, you know, and it all can be in a moment. I'm aware of that. But I say, you know, if you want to remember anybody or help anybody, you know, even though people listening probably don't know them, but, you know, I would say at least in your prayers, remember Edna, my grandmother, Bobby, my stepdad. And I'll say this, if you're so inclined, my grandmother had asked for gifts to Alive Hospice, which was the hospice organization or service that took care of our family there in those last couple of days that mom was with us. And they are a nonprofit, and they do it free of charge. It's pretty amazing. Actually, I didn't even know anything like this existed. But if you want to make a gift to them or donate to them, it's something that's real easy to support. You know, that's not, there shouldn't be a, nobody should have a problem with anything like that. AliveHospice.org, I believe, is the website. And I was really proud, and you can take, back to your mom, our gratitude. I think she was one of, if not the first person to make a gift to Alive Hospice mm-hmm. when we suggested that or asked for it. very quickly. Others might have that I didn't know about, but I did happen to know that she did, and was very, very impressed, very moved by that, and so take that back to her, or I guess she'll hear it. She used to listen. She probably don't anymore because we hadn't been on the air for 100 years. But
she's always listening.
She probably forgot about us. Hopefully nobody else did. So what else in there? Man, it prompted a whole lot of conversations, a lot of real serious conversations that nobody likes to have, but you have to have about, well, what if, and what happened that day if I'm not here, if you're not here? You talk about the insurance and, you know, mm-hmm. all those kind of things, you know, what you're leaving behind. And on a normal day, when I try to have those conversations, Gretchen hates them. She does not like to. And I understand. I mean, I'm not making fun of her at all. She just, once she starts going down that road in her mind, she gets upset. She don't want to talk about it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more pragmatic and a little less emotional about it. But so, you know, there's other lessons, peripheral lessons in there too. You know, make sure that you got insurance, and like I have insurance, you know, for me to make sure Gretchen's taken care of. You know, the idea being that in the middle of something like this, which is exhausting, mm-hmm. is absolutely exhausting for people that have never been through it.
Yeah, it's like running a marathon.
Between the hospitals and the funeral homes and everybody that wants to kind of get a piece of your time or talk to, and they do mean well. You know, mm-hmm. everybody's very kind. And I'm a little different about that. Like, I didn't share a lot of this. I didn't share any of it on Facebook, or I was not mm-hmm. sharing this with the world. I'm not really into that. And there wasn't any animosity or bad feelings about it. Somebody actually, I talked to somebody a couple of days ago who I only talked to sort of on and off. And he was very apologetic. He was like, I did not know. I'm sorry. I said, man, don't apologize. I said, in fairness, I didn't really put a lot of that out there. You know, there was a very small circle of people that kind of knew that needed to know. So that's just the way I do things. I don't know where I was going with all that. But and my Facebook activity is really limited these days. I don't hardly do much on there at all. I don't like to even go on there and it's just a cesspool of nonsense. So had a couple of interesting things happen. Now, we've been in Nashville on and off quite a lot in the last few weeks, and had a couple of interesting stories and anecdotes. We spent a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I hemorrhaged money in Nashville just because there was always something for, it's like, let's go out and eat, you know?
Right.
Let's go over to Opry Mills. Let's go over to, and it's just like, God, we just hemorrhaged money for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks or so. So we're in Opry Mills, and they have these kiosks in the middle of, it's basically a big shopping mall, I guess. They have these kiosks. Retail Randall will appreciate this. And we're walking by one, and I guess it's cosmetics, right? Mm-hmm. And as we're walking by, the guy says, I guess to Gretchen, he says, come here, this will make you look 21 again. All right, he says this. Now, I thought to myself, as I'm walking by, this all happens in a moment. I thought to myself, like, I was ready with a snappy comeback. Mm-hmm. Like, I was going to turn to him and go, well, she is 21, actually, you know.
Well, she's 19. Is this going to make her look
older? Yeah, I thought of a good line in my head, but mm-hmm. I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to engage us, and I don't, there's probably an expression for whatever it is he's doing, but to engage us, to come talk to him, mm-hmm. because if he can engage us and we're talking, all of a sudden he's got an opening to pitch. So I kind of chuckled to myself at my own line in my own head, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of kept walking. Behind me, I hear, what do you mean? Are you saying I don't look 21? He's got her. So,
like a bear trap.
So 20 minutes and $150 later, I bought $150 worth of cosmetics. And you know who's using them? I'm using them. I don't know that she's even used some of them. There was a couple of things in there that I kind of liked it too. He was like, come here. And, you know, and he's doing me while he's doing her. Like, roll my arm over like the fish belly underside of my arm and rub this on there. And look at that. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is great. So, and here's where I messed up, though. because he was offering this, and he'd do this, you know, this thing where, and look, don't tell anybody, don't tell, but I give you this for free, you know, all that kind of thing. I get that. So at some point, and Gretchen wanted some of this stuff, and she asked him, well, how much would this be? And he's like, $149 or whatever. Here's where I made the mistake. Because I didn't care. You know, I take care of Gretchen. If she wanted, I'd buy it for her. And I said to her, I said, it doesn't really much matter to me. If you like this stuff and you'll use it, or if you want it, I'll be glad to get it for you. Here's the problem. I said that in front of him.
Oh.
So he knows now.
Then the upsell came.
He knows I'm in.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Now all he's got to do is convince her just that one extra inch. Just push her that one extra inch so that she knows she needs it. Because mm-hmm. He's already heard her hear from me that...
Yeah.
He's got my approval.
The wallet's open.
Yeah, right. Now, it's, what's this, the place called? Premier Dead Sea or Dead Sea Premier. They sell these cosmetics where they make them from the Dead Sea. I wondered if you might have, and now I looked him up on the internet, and a lot of people were really down on them for their sales tactics and stuff. I guess I kind of get that. We actually said to the guy as we were buying it, you know, that we kind of complimented him, told him he earned it. Mm-hmm. His pitch was really funny, and he made a lot of good jokes. He was very, like, flattering of Gretchen and mm-hmm. was very flattering of me. And, you know, oh, are you in the Army? Oh, you're a big guy. You know, you know, she's young and beautiful, and I'm, you know, tough and rugged and handsome and all that kind of stuff. He was very fast. Like, he talked very fast. We kind of enjoyed it. You kind of now. So there's dinner
and a show.
There's a way that can be done. The hard sell and the high pressure tactics. Where I get that. He did one thing that I did not like while we were talking. Like, he reaches over and takes our bags from us, our shopping bags, which I guess is a technique they teach him to, you know, that get you to stand there and talk. Mm-hmm. Which we were already standing there talking to him. He didn't have to do it. And I kind of didn't like that, but...
Well, it gives you have to take an extra step now to leave. You can't just walk away.
It wasn't necessary, but that was small compared to everything else. Well, anyway, I looked up some stuff on this company, and apparently it's an Israeli company, and they make their products with salt from the Dead Sea, which is exfoliating and good nourishing and all this kind of stuff. And I have some skin problems, and I've enjoyed using the stuff we got from. So, and don't misunderstand, it's great product. You know, the guys, they're not out there selling snake oil. Mm-hmm. Even the people that kind of hate their tactics seem to all agree that they make really good product, or for the most part. Mm-hmm. But this company offers really a big opportunity for young people coming out of that area, coming out of Israel, who are fresh from military service, because they have mandatory military service. Mm-hmm. And he and I were talking about that, because he was like, you know, and he immediately sized me up. You know, he's like, oh, are you military? I said, police. He's like, oh, I knew it. So he was, you know, telling me about, you know, he had to do military. He's like, you know, in Israel, it's mandatory. We got everybody do it. Mm-hmm. And this company apparently has attracted, or they either recruit, or it's just attractive to that kind of person, that young person who's fresh from their mandatory military service, doesn't know what they want to do with their life. This gives them an opportunity to travel and to make money, and it's very appealing apparently to a lot of them. And he told me, because I thought they did like 2 years, I asked him as how long he was in. He said three. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess they maybe get 3 years out of it.
That's men, women, and everything. Everybody goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our new Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, or Gadot, is a veteran. Yeah. You know, she's a Israeli and served in the military and whatever. Anyway, I liked the guy. You know, there was small things like, you know, it was a hard sell, but it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. He was personable, and he flattered us. He made us feel good. And even when you know it's happening, you can still appreciate it. You know, like, he made us laugh, and he asked us about being married, you know, and what's the secret, and, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, he kind of immediately, you know, knew how to size us up and get to us. And Gretchen and I was glad to talk about that. We like being married. We like to talk to people about being married and all that kind of thing. Although he did this to me right as we were leaving, though. I'd bought him. We said thank you and all this. And we're walking away. And I said, oh, I said, what's your name, man? He goes, Steve. Traditional Jewish name, right? Steve. I'm ready for, you know, R.E. or, yeah. you know what? Steve. So, and that could be his name for all I know. So, yeah, so I look on the internet and kind of researching some of their product because I thought, well, I might want to buy some more later, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not going to drive into Opry Mills to go meet this guy at the kiosk.
Yeah,
you know,
meet Steve.
Get some stuff on the internet if I need it. And you run across these reviews where apparently in other parts of the country, they've had a lot of, they had some complaints or problems where, you know, they'll get some confused person or maybe an older person. I don't want to be disparaging to older people, but, you know, before they leave, they're out like thousands of dollars and,
yeah.
you know, sort of swindling them. You know, mm-hmm. we did not get swindled. We just heard a very compelling sales pitch. You know, the guy, he did everything right.
Yeah.
You know, now he may have played us like a fiddle, mm-hmm. but we kind of knew that too. And he did it right. I mean, he didn't make me do anything I didn't want to do.
Right.
I didn't feel swindled. Mm-hmm. You know, I chuckled as I walked away knowing I had bought, you know, some high dollar cosmetics.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you know? There was an immediate spark of recognition.
Well, because the whole time you were telling the story, I was thinking about this lady
yeah.
at the kiosk in Westtown Mall in Knoxville. It was the same company. And, man, she was good.
That's right. It was Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, she was really good, but she would do the upsell, and you know, she was very, very. And I spent my lunches there on when I worked in West Knoxville, so she was right next to the food court. So I mean, I'd see her all the time, but yeah, she was going for that hard sell for sure. And it was weird because it was right at the time 9/11 had just happened, and it was kind of in that time frame where people didn't. Like really trust Arab folks, and so she got a lot of like.
Well, she would not have been Arab, but
yeah,
to the uneducated or suspicious,
right?
A brown person that looks like they're from that region
and talks yeah. like it, and you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
She got a lot of obscenities thrown at her,
wow.
and, you know, and, yeah. and she just took it with stride. And I was thinking the same thing about the military service. She could probably just go off and pop their necks like the.
Yeah. Interesting though, you point out, you know, that she kind of took it all.
Oh yeah, she was great. She,
there's a lesson in that too. You can't make any money being offended,
mm-hmm.
right? All those offended people, mm-hmm. but it's so you're in a position to observe. Well, of course, it's all anecdotal because there may be one in another part of the country that's really shady and really aggressive mm-hmm. and hurt somebody and took too much of their money or swindled them. I guess is the word. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think maybe you gather from, and maybe, who knows, maybe Steve swindles people, you know, when we're not.
You know, you got to wonder, too, the cultures are different over there, and that may not, you know, they may not even know that they're swindling somebody out of that money.
Well, and swindle maybe isn't the word. That seems to imply deception.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's overly aggressive sales tactics or where they, you know, I can see like again, I don't mean to be disparaging to older people, but it seems like elderly people make good targets for these kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, the taking of the bags and the,
you didn't know what they were trained to do either. I mean,
there's sure videos on the internet of them receiving, you can watch them getting their sales training
uh-huh.
and usually where they're posted or how they're shared, it's not flattering. It's yeah. like, see, you know, here's behind the scenes. They teach them to do this and mm-hmm. to.
Well, I mean, think about it. You're in another country that you've never been in before, and you probably know the language decent but not great, and somebody's telling you exactly what to do. I mean, it's probably not them. I would say it's probably more of a corporate deal that.
Yeah. His English was really, I thought, really good. And it's an opportunity for those young people to get out in the world and sort mm-hmm. of make a fortune. But I guess it's just maybe anecdotal. You know, I could see it being from person to person, from region to region. But then again, I thought as much as we kind of enjoyed being entertained mm-hmm. with Steve there, I could easily see, though, somebody else coming behind. And, you know, and he made a point. It's interesting. He made a point during his pitch to us because he had his stack of receipts. He goes, my last customer come through here. He spent $2,000. So, you know, then looking at like all that other stuff later, I'm like, well. Did they know? One person who's apparently had some sort of brain injury or had a stroke or something, but, you know, had like this bad short-term memory, like really would get confused. Mm-hmm. And they kept, basically kept him there and kept selling him things.
Oh, man.
Like, he didn't realize that he just bought something. They're selling him more. They keep charging his card and selling. Now, this was not where we were. This mm-hmm. was somewhere else. So, I don't, where's the line, Retail Randall? When do you, I had, back when I was in the radio business, and I did news radio. I didn't do sales. I was not in the money side or the marketing. You know, I wasn't even, people would always say, oh, yeah, you used to be a radio DJ. I was never a radio DJ. I mean, I covered a morning show like once or twice in the over the course of several years. But, you know, my job was news. I did news radio. And like Les Nessman on WKRP, mm-hmm. you know, they all had different jobs.
Right.
You know, Johnny Fever played the records and Andy was the salesman or the Herb Tarlick was the sales manager. And that's at least a good representation of how radio stations are structured.
Do you remember the turkey episode?
Yeah. They thought they were supposed to fly. Yeah. And they threw them out the window. And it's funny because a lot of those tropes and cliches that we laughed at then are still very true. Yeah. Of the radio business. What a dying industry. Anyway, if you watch that and you see how people are categorized into their jobs, mm-hmm. which is still the way most radio stations are structured, as far as everyone I've worked in has been like that, I would have been the Les Nessman. I was the newsman. I didn't spin records. I didn't sell advertising. I just did news. But our employer, Fearless Leader, who was really into that kind of thing, thought that everybody that worked for him would benefit from taking this certified marketing class. And I had to take a class on salesmanship and all the stuff. So it was a good glimpse into that world. You know, I'm kind of glad I hated it at the time, but I'm kind of glad I did it now because, you know, I got the whole thing about overcoming objections and how to, you know, all these sales techniques and tactics. Now, there are some that we understand are commonly acceptable that are sort of a part of playing the game. It's a salesmanship is to some degree a skill and or a talent. I mean, I guess some people have a lot of it naturally. Some of it you can teach. But the act of salesmanship, of being able to engage someone and convince them that not only do they need this product, but yours is better than the competitors. And when they have an objection, you can overcome their objection. You know, well, what would we need to do today to make sure that we get you out of here with this widget and that kind of thing? Where is that line? Where it becomes just skillful salesmanship versus something scurrilous or unethical? Where's the ethical line? Retail Randall, you were never really in that kind of phase. Like, you weren't really, were in sales, but you weren't really a salesman, were you?
Oh, yeah. I started out as a salesman for DuPont Paint, as a matter of fact. I started out mixing paint, and then within a couple months, they put me in a truck. Now, the guy that I learned from was a trip. They put me on a truck with this guy for a couple of weeks, and man, he was so shady. The stuff he'd always kind of
he was
like,
one of those old time.
Yeah, yeah. He always had a ball board, like a football board during football season. Uh-huh. And he'd run to these shops and be like, "Hey, you know, dollar square, whatever," and they'd fill out the thing. While they're filling out the ball board, he was out there making a sales order, you know, and oh, he was just. And they'd asked him, what were you doing yesterday? You playing any golf yesterday? Oh, yeah, yeah. Played 18 holes yesterday. And the next place would be like, what did you do yesterday? Oh, I was out fishing yesterday. Right, you know, whatever the guy was into was
that
what
was
he
was. Relatable.
Yeah,
always
he was doing
relatable.
That yesterday.
Now, do you consider that, looking back on it now, was that good salesmanship or is that unethical?
The only time I really had a problem with them was we had a couple shops that were newer startup shops that, you know, had that startup money that they had got, and he really sold them some equipment that they didn't need.
Yeah.
And that you could tell the shop wasn't going to last very long and they were going to be stuck with this huge payment on it. So
you maybe kind of felt like in that instance they were taking advantage of.
Yeah.
Because maybe that where that sort of that ethical line is, how much are you taking advantage of someone just because they're a revenue source?
Yeah, I always felt myself like a partner with the people. Like, you know, I was there to help them. They were there to help me. You know, if they succeeded and did better, then they would buy more stuff from me. We would, you know, kind of go together with it. But when you're just trying to get a quick sale in before the place goes under, then that's kind of...
Yeah, the sketch. Know. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I get it. Well, okay. Another thing that we... Some other things we did while we were there. Gretchen took me to the World Market, where they have, like, international foods, and it's weird. It's like there was a taco truck outside, like a real taco truck, which I didn't know before we went because we just ate. Uh-huh. And I was like, that would have been awesome, like authentic.
Bang, bang, there you go.
Yeah, right, right. I just should have. No, no. I got to tell you, the other thing that has happened to me in the last few weeks, I got ridiculous fat. Ridiculous fat. I haven't been doing anything. Hmm. Been sitting around watching Netflix, eating junk food. I got ridiculous fat. My suits don't fit. I had to go buy a new suit. I'm serious. And, you know, when I was getting ready to come back to work, like, I had a shirt, a uniform shirt, laying on the shelf by my bed that I had, and it was laying there because my last night that I worked when I had my hernia, I wore that shirt. When I came home, I took it off and laid it there. Several weeks later, having had surgery, recovered, and all this, getting ready to go back to work, picked up that shirt. It doesn't fit. The same shirt that I wore the last night that I worked. I could not wear the first night back. So, but I'm already working on it, already seeing some benefit. I'm already watching what... Well, I'm just not eating as much, and I don't normally. Mm-hmm. My eating habits are normally bad in that, like, I don't eat a lot. And I eat bad things. A lot of processed food out of the freezer, out of a can. Bad things at bad times, mm-hmm. and infrequently.
Yeah.
Like, I probably do fast a lot, though, you know, and I don't eat much at work. So I got ridiculous fat. Now, here's what I've been doing since I've been back. Very, very limited sugar. I would love to tell you that I'm cut sugar out of my diet, but I don't eat... I hear people say that. I don't know how you do it. Sugar is in everything.
Oh, yeah. You can't get away from it.
It's in everything. Things that you would never think that have sugar in them, and it's in everything. So I've largely cut sugar. Mm. Snacky cakes, real weakness for me.
Yeah.
Me and little Debbie, we've had a thing for many years.
It's your woman.
Me and little Debbie got a thing going on. And
what's funny with me is when the girls are there, you know, they eat Little Debbie. So I keep Little Debbie's in the house stocked up, and I snack on them constantly. When they're not there, I don't get them, and I don't notice a difference.
Right,
in them,
right,
know?
Right. We also, and I work night shifts, and we have a park in town, and also the park's right next to the house. But I've been parking the car at night and walking in the park while I'm, might as well. It's, you know, because if not, I'm sitting in the car.
Right.
Right. So I've been getting up and walking some laps, drinking more water, skipping the sugar, the snacky cakes and stuff. And I mean, within a week, I've already seen a difference. Like, my pants are starting to fit a little better, you know. But it was pretty awful. And I was feeling awful. Like, my lower back was starting to hurt again, because now all of a sudden I'm carrying all this extra weight, and it was harder for me. It was like, this is awful. I just felt awful. I mean, I wasn't skinny to begin with.
Yeah.
And to put on all that extra weight and really feel the difference, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it felt. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, she took me to the World Market. So they got, like, live fish there, and it stinks real bad. It's a cool store, though. I mean, I really liked it, but they have, like, Asian food, like, and you can't read the labels. You don't really, you kind of have to go by the pictures and hope you know what's in it, you know? But, like, it was great to get, like, hot sauces and, like, spicy noodles. Like, I like spicy, like, more top shelf ramen, mm-hmm. like, not top ramen. They call it top ramen, but it's, like, the lowest of the low. Like,
yeah.
it's not even top ramen. But, like, you know what I mean. Like, sort of the good noodle, mm-hmm. That's super spicy. And I got some, like, a pack of shredded squid. It's good. It's really good.
Man, I've had squid before. What, fried, it's really pretty nice, but...
It can be. Squid, pretty much, no matter how it's prepared, is going to have a certain level of chewiness to it. Mm-hmm. And even like calamari, like fried squid, it kind of has a window, you know, when it's fresh and it comes right out. But if it sits at all, you know, then it gets real super chewy. This was pretty good. It was almost like a beef jerky kind of thing. It's like that kind of snack.
Squid jerky.
Yeah, sort of. It's, you know, shredded and I don't know if dried or whatever. But sort of like that, like a beef jerky kind of snacks, a little sweet. And they make it a little sweet and spicy and really good, really tasty. Lots of specialty teas, you know, your Korean ginseng tea. And I'm looking at it across, like in this, underneath this, like a deli case or a meat case. I thought it was like a big fish. You know, one of these things is like two and a half feet long. It looked like, you know, like a big catfish fillet. You know what a catfish fillet looks like, you know, fried and battered. Uh-huh. From a distance, I'm like, it looked like a huge catfish fillet, like as big as your thigh. Uh-huh. I walk over to it. It's one big pork skin.
Oh, gosh.
Like the whole side of the pig, the whole skin just fried, you know, and I guess you just break it off and eat it. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, all that is, that's what you get in the bag, right? It's just pieces. Just
unrecognizable.
They had several of them under the case, like just one big pork skin. It was as big as your thigh. It was crazy. So, and Gretchen's like, you know, like she, and I'm like, now why is that less appetizing than like if they were in a bag?
Yeah.
You know, at the convenience store. I'm like, this is the real deal, you know? It's probably pretty good. I didn't get it or didn't try it.
You know, I've never liked pork rinds. My dad loves them, but I've just never been a pork rind fan.
Pig snacks are the bomb, said Fat Boy. Some more of my things I need to avoid.
There was one time, it's been, 10 years ago, I was like, man, I really craving some pork rinds. So I went out and got some pork rinds, and then I ate one of them. I was like, I don't know why in the world I just got these things are gross.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like them at all.
Wow. You got to put some hot sauce on them or something. I don't know. They make you real dry. They make you real thirsty because they're real salty too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so another thing we did while we were there, we went to Opry Mills, which has a great movie theater. Love that movie theater. They have you know, all kinds of foods and beers, which I don't drink, but just to walk by like a case that had all the, you know, Heineken in it and stuff, is like you felt like you were somewhere fancy, not like, you know, at the Regal Nine or whatever it is we go to,
the Ritz Miller.
Like, ooh la la, you know. And they had a whole separate room for like kids' birthday parties and stuff. Just a great theater. Of course, they had the IMAX. And Gretchen wanted to see IMAX, which I do too. I've never sat in an IMAX. I want to see an IMAX movie, but all they had was like Transformers. That was the only thing playing IMAX.
Yeah, that's a headache waiting to happen.
I ain't interested in Transformers. So what we did do was we saw Wonder Woman. Now, I had watched Wonder Woman when it came, like the week it came out, I watched it on the internet. I watched sort of a good bad version of it, or a good quality
cam
of a bad, yeah, right. It was not great, but of that type of capture, it was pretty good quality.
They're getting better, I've noticed that.
It's kind of hit and miss.
Yeah.
And so I thought, like, before I went in, if you would have asked me, I would have told you, well, I've seen this movie. I got to tell you, man, going in and sitting watching the theater, my experience was much better. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
But watching a poor quality version at home on TV, but I caught all kinds of things that I did not. Of course, I think when it was on before and I was watching at home, I wasn't really paying attention. Mm-hmm. I was kind of playing with my phone, doing other things.
And yeah.
To go in there and immerse in it and actually watch it, you know, I'm like, okay, I really need, you need to experience these this way. Mm-hmm. So, we haven't had a chance yet then, because I guess since we've been away, Wonder Woman is open and Spider-Man, which we went and saw together a few days ago. So we'll maybe take a few minutes here before we leave. So I guess if it's good to do at the end, if somebody hasn't seen Wonder Woman or hasn't seen Spider-Man, you may want to check out. We can start with Wonder Woman. I guess more people at least have probably seen that by now. Mm-hmm. Just because it's been out longer. What were your thoughts on Wonder Woman?
I thought it was
great. I think everybody liked it.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. I liked the time frame. I liked how it started out now, and she's going back into kind of the dream sequence of when it happened. And Chris Pine was great. Gal Gadot was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have any problems with the movie.
World War One was a great choice for a setting. The movie already did get a lot of comparisons, some complimentary and some critical, of that we sort of have done this already, like with Captain America, the First Avenger. It really is kind of that movie.
Yeah.
With a little bit, maybe a Batman Begins or something in, especially in the training sequences. So I think it was wise. I mean, you know, you put it, if we put it back in World War II again, and it's Nazis, and it's, you know, it's like we've kind of done that, haven't we?
Before.
And you really become aware, especially for if you play video games, a lot of the video games, a lot of combat games, war games, there's just a whole World War II sort of aesthetic out there already that's, we're a little saturated. And I thought the World War One setting is something we don't get a lot of. So I think that was a good choice. I think that was a real good choice. Still okay with her. I think Gal is a good choice for Wonder Woman. I wish we had somebody a little more athletic. That's the only thing. Not that she looks bad. That was ridiculous. As a woman looks anything but bad, but you know what I'm saying? There's, and you know, she doesn't need to be, you know, muscular like the old He-Man action figures or something, but there's just an athleticism that's missing. She looks sort of scrawny. Obviously not, you know, she's getting in there fighting and killing everybody. And Chris Pine was he's not a guy I normally am real big on. I really liked him in this. He just hit the right notes.
Yeah, I really
dig
him. He
felt really authentic.
I dig him in Star Trek, too. But
I don't so much. he would not have been my choice for Kirk.
Man, I think he's awesome in Star Trek.
You know, we might can disagree a little on that. But to bring it sort of back around, he was really good in this. And I really liked, too, that... You know, you get worried about, you know, the themes of feminism and sexism and all this kind of stuff. You know, because that can swing a couple of different ways. You know, you can do it where your women are helpless, mindless creatures that have to wait and have the man come in to rescue them all the time. You know, that's sort of that pushback. People push back against that, you know, and we don't want to see that. But at the same time, you know, men sometimes get played for comic foil and they get played, you know, to be stupid and like we have to go the other way. And I really appreciate that they didn't do that with this.
No, it's kind of a good balance. He had his comic moments, but then, you know, he was
very heroic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And without insulting her or her being insulting to him, I like the, you know, the fish out of water thing, that they're, how it's funny. There are things that she doesn't understand about culture that he struggles to explain to her, but yet sometimes in her naive understanding of things, he learned something too. He's like, you're right, I can't explain it. I know it doesn't make sense, you know, why we make wars and whatever. So I appreciated that balance. I mean, some are going to see what they want to see, and I've seen some people kind of be critical of both. I heard one guy saying, like, his wife, who's like an uber feminist, who was mad that, spoilers, who was mad when, you know, Chris Pine, Steve Trevor, took the bomb in the ship or in the airplane and sacrificed himself and blew up. And she's like, oh, yeah, the man's got to save the day and save her and all that. And it's like, come on, you know, there's room here for everybody to be heroic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, she's been beating everybody up for the whole movie. You know, can he have a moment to be heroic? It's okay. You know, so you get both of those. I felt like it was a good balance. There were a couple of things along the way when I first viewing that I sort of took offense at, a couple of swipes, what I thought were swipes at marriage and things like that. But when we went to the theater and watched it, I realized I didn't have it right. Like, there was a line that was delivered that I thought was delivered in another place, and it wasn't. And, like, I was wrong, basically. I was like, oh, she didn't say that there. She said it here. And you know what I mean. So, yeah. Now, does this bode well? Or, I mean, it does bode well in that DC needed some good faith, needed some goodwill. you know, with the lukewarm, if not poor, response to Batman Superman. And the skepticism going into Justice League, I think this was good.
Yeah.
We'd been a lot more worried if it didn't perform well. But does that really inform Justice League at all? I mean, it's going to be a completely separate movie.
No, and I don't think so. It's separate time frame, separate movie with separate characters. And I'm just, man, I'm looking forward to the movie, but I just know that it's not going to be the best.
Yeah, I'm worried too. You hate to be critical of something you haven't even seen yet, but I just don't see anything that really... to be encouraged about, you know, so, but it's good that this Wonder Woman has done well. DC needed some goodwill. Spider-Man, what are your thoughts on the We Went Together group trip to all go see Spider-Man the other day?
It was okay. I wasn't like really impressed with it, but it was an okay movie. I feel like it's better than the first three, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans.
All of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even the second one?
Yeah.
Because the second one of those of the Sam Raimi series is kind of held up as the best or the better of the whole series. You know what I mean? People point back to that Spider-Man too, but you liked it more than that.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of had the experience that I expected to. Like, I was not disappointed, but I wasn't really surprised. I pretty much got what I expected before I went in. I'm just a wee bit put off with the reworkings of Spider-Man and his gadgets and gears. Not that I mind that, you know, Tony Stark has been contributing or mentoring him. There's a little bit of that can be found foundationally in the comic stories and stuff. But it seemed a little too gadget heavy, like him helping him with a few things that was in the suit. Okay. Mm-hmm. When it got into basically the artificial onboard systems and all Karen. That, it just made him like Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't feel right to me. Now, I'm not a big Spider-Man person anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not a big. I like it as much as anything, but I'm like not really into Spider-Man stuff or collecting or comics or anything. You know, I know enough to be a little fluent, but he's not really one of my guys. So I'm not really as invested. I wonder if I was, like, if this was one of the things that I love a lot more, if I'd be really upset like some people are that, you know, they basically turned him into, you know, everybody wants to be like Iron Man or whatever. I'm a little uncomfortable with that, but then again, it does all make it fit better in the universe they're building.
I was concerned with them going back to younger folks that it was going to be like the Fantastic Four reboot they did. I was really worried it was going to be one of those type of movies, but I think it was better than that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to take a couple movies to get used to it, I think.
Infinity War ought to be pretty epic. My concern with that is that their reach may exceed their grasp. It seems like it's so big.
Yeah, so many characters, so many.
On scale and scope and money, a billion dollars with a B. They're spending on this Infinity Wars, $1 billion. We talked here before about, you know, like, what, Batman, Superman, just like 200, 250 million. They're spending $1 billion on this. It just seems like too much.
Seems like it's going to be a headache. Like, you know, when we first watched Batman versus Superman, it was like, it was too, like, it almost gave you a headache watching it in 3D. I feel like this movie is going to be the same. Like, it's going to be all CGI, all.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing with the Spider-Man was just too much CG. Just way too much. And there's something about, and this is true of all these Spider-Man movies. We've had, six of them now in 15 years, something like that. There's just something about Spider-Man, his movements and the way, you know, the swinging and the crawling and the whatever, that you just can't get 100% natural through a computer generated. There's something, that uncanny valley, as they say, where the mind knows that something is off. And
yeah.
I don't know. We've just gone too far with the CG. We need to dial it back a little bit. Anything gets crowded and busy, and I didn't feel that as much with this one, but still, as an overall symptom of what's going on in cinema.
It seemed like he almost moved too fast that you couldn't tell what he was doing.
Yeah, and that's how your director shoots action sequences, mm-hmm. or cuts them, rather. And I have heard in the days that have followed criticisms for this director, for his lack of skill in shooting or cutting action sequences. Mm-hmm. That's a separate skill. It's you know, some people are good at it than others. Some people are good action directors and some aren't. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that in a movie where and a lot of those Transformers movies are like that to me, where the action is so fast. The cuts are so fast and everything's so busy and there's so much explosions everywhere and there's so much sensory input.
There's too many
details. You can't follow it. I don't have any sense of space and time here. I don't know where I am, what's going on.
That's one of my big problems with the new Transformer movies is there's too much details in the robots. You can't really tell
what's
what, you know. There's all kinds of little metal pieces.
Your mind is just trying to perceive so much that you can't take it all in, can't do everything with it. I don't know. So yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, I liked the Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. I liked it, didn't love it. I like it for where it fits with everything else, and it was sort of like I liked him in Civil War more. Mm-hmm. I think I will like him in Infinity War more, and New Avengers and whatever else they have planned down the road. I would say at this point, and I'm sure they won't, they've probably already got another one in the works, but I would say we really don't need another standalone Spider-Man movie for a while.
I'd almost say it's going to be a trilogy, probably. I imagine
it will be. It will be. I kind of wish they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do stuff like we did with him in Civil War, like we're going to do Infinity. I like all those characters interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are the best movies? You know, Civil War, you know, and the Avengers movies have been some of the best. Maybe the Captain, Civil War was a Captain America movie, mm-hmm. where you have the cooperative effort and your characters meeting and doing it together. You know, some of those are better at carrying their own movies. You know, like the Hulk property has just so far to date has proven shown that Hulk is not really going to support a standalone movie. Mm-hmm. He works better in the context of something else. I have not really cared for the Thor movies. Mm-hmm. I don't really like those. But I'm excited about this new one because what they've done is they basically, it looks like to me, like they made a Planet Hulk movie, mm-hmm. and they slapped Thor on the title. So I'm down with that. And see, there's a way that works. It's like if the Thor movies are kind of meh and the Hulk movies are kind of ugh, then okay, if we can kind of work both of these together, look, you know, and we can get everybody else excited. Guys like me who were not excited about another Thor movie, who are going, Planet Hulk, you know, I want to go see that. So that's cool. It'll work. Oh, before we leave, I got to tell everybody, my sister-in-law, Meg, is going to be on American Ninja Warrior. What is Monday? Is that the 17th? Monday's the 17th. I think, I can't say this for 100% certainty, but I'm pretty sure that her segment will air on Monday the 17th of July on American Ninja Warrior. My sister-in-law, Megan, is she's a fitness competitor. She was a CrossFit trainer, an Olympic powerlifting coach. She was, in 2007, was a finalist for American Gladiators. Have we talked about her before in here?
Mm-mm.
I just said that, and it seems like I remember us talking about that. Anyway, she got the call a couple of months ago to come run, to go to Denver and run the American Ninja Warrior course there, and only had a month really to focus train. I mean, she trains every day and is fit, but I mean specifically train to run their obstacle course. You know what I mean?
Right.
You see video of them making... They makeshift obstacles like to mimic it, you know.
Yeah.
So they can kind of try to train for those obstacles and those things. So as we're sitting here speaking, she's already done it. She's already run it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she did. I knew better than to ask. And, of course, I'm sure they probably make them sign some kind of NDA or something. You don't spoil the show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And also found out a couple of days ago that I'm going to be an uncle. Apparently, she and my brother are going to have a baby. They're going to have American Ninja Baby.
American Ninja Baby.
Right? So just a good time for them, man. I'm just pleased as peach and love them to death. Her name is Megan May, M-A-Y, like the month of May, Megan May. So if you're an American Ninja Warrior regular viewer, Gretchen is. So she's super excited. she's into that show. Yeah. So this is like, ooh. I'm like, Meg's going to do American Ninja.
Do you like that show more than you like the Wipeout show? I love Wipeout.
I don't know that I watched that.
It's like it was more of a comic-y show, but man,
I liked Takeshi's Castle.
It's kind of the same deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What'd they call it? Because we watched it here at the house a few times. What did they call it? Extreme Challenge? Extreme?
Yeah, Extreme
Challenge or something like that, where they cut up and make jokes and dub their voices over. And so, yeah, that's obviously not for skill. That's just for watching people get clobbered and doing stupid things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if you're so inclined, check out American Ninja Warrior on the 17th. Again, I hate that I don't know for a fact, because if I tell people that and they tune over and don't see her. But, I mean, you either watch the show or you don't anyway. Yeah. It's not like somebody's going to tune over there and watch just because I said to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here's to Meg and my brother Brian and continued good health. And I think Ninja Baby's supposed to be with us here in January. So Gretchen's excited about that. She loves babies anyway.
So she's probably like pregnant when she ran it, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. So, but yeah, I guess if you do the math, yeah, because it just would have been a month or two ago. So I don't, you know, I don't know if she would have known or not. What are we looking at? April. And I guess, she might have known or would beginning to suspect. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but anyway. All right. Well, it's good to be back. And maybe I said this before last time we were in here. You know, maybe we could try to get back on a routine. But certainly did not know what the last couple of months was going to hold for me. So appreciate the patience. Hope everybody hasn't forgotten about us. And we can kind of get back to living life and having fun and welcoming new babies and running obstacles and. Isn't that so sad? I'm like, here I'm bragging on my sister-in-law who's running American Ninja Warrior, and I spent the last hour telling you how, I've been laying around getting fat.
The funny thing was when you first mentioned that, I thought it was Nate's girlfriend, Nate's wife.
Gretchen's brother.
Yeah.
Big Nate.
Yeah. Because I was cracking up thinking of the two of them together. I mean, even though you told me immediately it wasn't him, but just the thought of those two together was hilarious to me.
It would not be as peculiar as you might think. Nathan actually does work out, and he lifts weights, and I don't know how regular he is. I think he works out pretty regularly, you know, with his supplements and his routine, and, you know, so you wouldn't know that, or you really wouldn't think that. You know, he doesn't look like a gym – he doesn't look or carry himself like a gym rat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Megan, for sure. I mean, you know, she's all the time talking about keto diet, and there's always pictures on her Instagram, Facebook of her, you know, flexing in her gym gear. You know, it's very obvious she lives that lifestyle.
Well, I mean, Nathan, you know, I love him to death. He's just kind of like, he's not very assertive, I guess would be the best way to put it.
I get what you're saying. You can't see him, you know, jumping out of bed in the 5 a.m. for a run you know, hoorah. And I get it. I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying. I don't think that you're not in being insulting at all. Yeah. There is a way of living that comes with it, becomes lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and I know because I know Meg and I know what you're talking about, you know, how they're just consumed with that. Push all the time, and he doesn't really have that kind of personality.
Yeah,
that's why I said it might surprise you to know that, you know, he does work out and go to the gym and stuff like that. So but no, he as of today is unmarried. So all right, well, I guess we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I hope so, man. Y'all pray for me, pray that nothing else happens. I don't need any more twists and turns or any more bad luck for a while anyway. But you know, life moves on, right, brother?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Okay, well, until then, until next time, I'm Pastor Dave, Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.